You're listening to Tucson Tech Talk with your host, Aaron Moss, on Tucson Business Radio X.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Tucson Tech Talk. I'm your host, Aaron Moss, broadcasting from the Tucson Radio X studio in the Stewart Title Building on Broadway here in Tucson, Arizona. Tucson Tech Talk is sponsored by Computer Doctor of Tucson because technology is great when it works. We also want to thank all of our listeners that tune in. Our latest rankings came in at 15,000 podcast downloads since our beginning. So we're really, really happy about that. We want to thank all of our listeners. The focus on the show today is technology and hospitality, and we have two guests with us today. Our first guest is the owner and manager of Hotel Tucson City Center. She is a member of the National Tour Association, Visit Tucson, legacy partner of Local First Arizona, and Tucson Business Networking. She grew up in Pennsylvania and moved to Tucson in 2015 when her family acquired the Hotel Tucson City Center. So we'd like to welcome Maria Chun to the program. And our next guest is a professional digital marketer and the author of the new book, Business Owner's Blueprint to Customer Reviews. She works with local business owners and service professionals to optimize their online presence, improve their local search ranking, and ultimately attract new clients. She's worked with hundreds of businesses and owners to achieve their goals by implementing the top SEO and lead generation strategies and leveraging technology tools to maximize their productivity. She's a master at teaching techie things to non-techie people. She's passionate about helping business owners attract their ideal clients to generate more revenue and regain their focus and freedom. So we want to welcome Sherry Barker
to
the program. Yeah, I always say the name last because I want to build it up. So we thank you both for being with us today. Now, I just want to note this. You know, we reached out to many hotels to join us on the show today, and only one actually surfaced, and that was Hotel Tucson City Center. So I do want to give a really big thumbs up to the Hotel Tucson City Center, Maria Chun, for representing that organization today. So Tucson Tech Talk, we are a tech show. So how does technology work along with the hospitality industry? Well, just like most businesses, a lot of people do online bookings. They look at reviews. They look at websites and all kinds of, there's a ton of travel websites out there. Okay, just to name a few, TripAdvisor, Yahoo Travel, there's Hotwire. Okay, you see TV commercials about these websites. But how does that affect our local businesses? So if I can just throw a question out there, we'll just talk about online reviews for just a moment. How are online reviews, and this is just a toss-up between the two guests here, how have online reviews affected businesses?
I think that they have really have a huge impact on the way that my business, Hotel Tucson City Center, is able to get customers through the door. And there's so many different channels where these guests can leave their reviews. So the OTAs such as Expedia.com, Booking.com, TripAdvisor, like you mentioned, Google, Yelp, and the list goes on and on and on. And just being able to have somebody on staff in charge of monitoring those reviews so that we can take that feedback and try our best to address it and improve on any negative issues that are affecting our guests' experience, or responding and thanking them for leaving a positive review and helping us get that exposure. Word of mouth is huge, and now it's become more of a digital game when it comes to word of mouth. So everybody's checking those reviews before they're converting to a customer.
Yeah, and word of mouth is definitely now online. Mm-hmm. So I have some statistics about that. 90% of customers rely on reviews to make their buying decisions. And 78% of customers trust an online review as much as they do a personal recommendation from a friend or family member. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the younger generations, the 18 to 34-year-olds, that number bumps up to 91%. 91% of them say that they trust an online review as much as a personal recommendation from a friend or family member. And 44% of customers say that a review has to have been written in the last month to be relevant. Mm-hmm. So it's like a constant thing now to be, you know, acquiring the reviews and monitoring them and responding to them, because responding to them is now equally important. And I have this statistic really threw me. 27% of Google searches are now for the sole purpose of reading reviews. That's stunning.
It's amazing, but that it's really become not necessarily a fight of who has the best food or the cleanest rooms or the most comfortable beds or the most attractive looking hotel lobby. It's really coming down to how their online presence is, and I can tell you from personal experience, it's something that I do. Now, this is just me. But people that I've spoken to, they kind of feel the same way. And that is, if you are looking at a business to potentially, whether it be a restaurant, a hotel, or some other business, I always go to the one-star reviews and I read those because I want to know what the worst to expect is.
Yes.
Okay. If the absolute worst that they're saying was that there was a flickering light in the, in the lobby, and they're for that, they're, that's okay for me. I don't care about a flickering light in the lobby. I just won't go over there, the pool temperature was too cold, there are people
he's doing risk reversal.
this is true. There are people out there that all they want to do is just mess up other people's lives and mess up other people's businesses. I have another customer. This was from a review from a person who wasn't even a client. Okay. Her mother was the client, and then she decided to get on and write a negative review from the opinion of her mother. Now, I feel that is just completely wacky. I mean, if you're going to complain, it should come from the person who had the bad experience, not secondhand information. And don't you know that this came on to Yelp, which I have my own reservations about Yelp, but they have what's called help me out here. When they put the top one out, what is that called?
They tend to suppress reviews if they're not from Yelpers, from active. What they call Yelpers. Mm-hmm. And so if you have good reviews that are written by people that are not super Yelpers or whatever, then those get buried. And then if somebody that is a super Yelper,
if they write
you a bad review, it's going to sit on the top.
Yeah, it sits at the top for years.
But business owners really shouldn't be afraid of those negative reviews. Those one-star crazy people that are just out to, do some damage. It's very obvious what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is to respond properly. And you want to keep it short and succinct. I tell people that they should use the language of apology. If you've heard of the book of the Love Languages book, there's also a book called The Language of Apology. Okay. And there are certain things that different people want to hear different things in an apology, right? Mm. They want to hear that, regret. They want to hear that, that you're going to make some sort of restitution or, you're going to make up for it somehow. They want to be offered something. So there's different, they want to ask, people might want to hear you ask for forgiveness, we're so sorry. Can you?
We fired that person.
They want to know what's being done. They want to know what's being done to prevent it from happening in the future, those kinds of things. And so you want to be short and succinct with the negative reviews. Mm-hmm. You want to clearly address their issue and then take it offline as quickly as possible. Empower them by giving a person the phone number directly to call the owner of the business or, the email address and take that conversation offline. And keep in mind that the response that you're giving online is not really for the benefit of that one-star wacko reviewer. Mm-hmm. The benefit of that review is that there are people that go and look at the negative reviews and see how the business responds. Mm-hmm. And even if you have a negative review, if you've responded in the right way, those people will trust you even more.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened in
Yeah, Europe? I couldn't agree more. I think that responding to those negative reviews are, they're an opportunity. With everything, there's two sides to every story. So if there is a customer who had a negative experience and they want to air that online, it's an opportunity for us to respond and show that, you know, as a business, we sincerely care. We did not intend for that experience to take place. We want them to consider visiting us again, consider utilizing our services again in the future, and that we will take their comments and apply them to improve our service standards and go from there. Yeah.
Excellent. Now a little bit more about the hotel, the Tucson City Center. I mentioned before that they were the only ones that were willing to come out and talk about their business on the technology side, which is a big thumbs up for them, in my guesstimation. But tell us a little bit about the history of the hotel city center. My notes indicate that it was originally built in 1962, the second Ramada Inn in the United States.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. So we're really lucky to have acquired that property. My family and I had a Best Western before coming to Tucson and taking over the Hotel Tucson City Center in 2015. The Best Western was a much smaller property.
Where was that?
In Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It did not have meeting and event space like we have at Hotel Tucson City Center. So the main reason for coming over and taking over this property was because it's an independent brand. And we really wanted to put our own love and care into a property mm-hmm. that we can call our own. We've fallen in love with Tucson. Mm-hmm. It's such a great community, great city to be a part of. So we found out that this beautiful property that captured our hearts was built as the second Ramada Inn in the United States. So it's got a lot of charming history. Mm-hmm. People say that John Wayne used to stay there back in the day when they were filming the Western movies out at Old Tucson. The film crews would stay there. Mm-hmm. They would have, it's on 10 acres in downtown. So mm-hmm. they would bring the horse carriages, and that's where, you know, the horses would stay mm-hmm. While they're shooting these Western films. Yeah. So
wow.
It's a lot of cool history. We're currently revamping it. So putting a modern flair on the lobby, the meeting spaces, the sleeping rooms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of changes are a lot of love mm-hmm. And changes are going back into that property to bring it back up to its full potential.
Okay. Now I'm just going to back up. So it's sitting on 10 acres and, Tucson does have a rich history of doing a lot of things in the movie industry. So, back in the day, Tucson was like a Hollywood, mm-hmm. Almost,
yeah.
Because a lot of Westerns were shot here. And certainly Hotel Tucson City Center was an intricate part of that. And for a lot of the listeners that have stayed at the hotel, you mentioned that you're redoing the lobby.
The lobby
area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
And there are some other upcoming events. I know that the Gem Show is pretty big. That's like a very, very busy time for, no doubt, hotels in the Tucson area.
All of Tucson,
and,
yes.
And El Tour and NYE. Tell us about those events. So for the past 4 or 5 years, your family has dealt with that. How have those gone so far?
Yeah, great. So the Gem and Mineral Show, we have a great show at Hotel Tucson City Center. It is 2 weeks long, and it's free and open to the public. It's a mineral and fossil show specifically.
Okay.
So we have all the dinosaur replicas that get dropped off at our property, and are out in the courtyard and in the driveway for 2 weeks. We actually have a Gila monster statue that has been in our courtyard for the last 2 years. So a lot of people like to say that we have a giant lizard problem at our property. Mm-hmm. But he's there, you know, to kind of help push the Gem and Mineral Show, which is so big to Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tucson Tech Talk, so since we are a tech show, so what kind of technologies do you feel? Because although you've only been involved with the Hotel Tucson City Center since 2015, but you do have, your family does have a history with the hotel industry overall. What other things, technology have you found that are necessary upgrades to these hotels? Perhaps like reservation systems and online bookings. You had mentioned OTA. So OTA means what again?
Online travel agent.
Online travel agent.
Online travel agent. So that would be Expedia and Booking.com. And as an independent property, we rely really heavily on those OTAs. We don't have, you know, the support behind like a Marriott or Hilton that's going to send their loyalty points or their, you know, their their members over to us. So we rely really heavily on the OTAs and our online presence, our reviews. So I'm constantly involved with monitoring, are we on the first page? Are we on the second page on Expedia? Mm-hmm. What is the consumer seeing when they are searching to stay in Tucson? Mm-hmm. And if we're not on the first or second page, what do I need to do to get there? So it has a huge impact on, you know, the results we get as a business.
Right. Sherry, you deal a lot with online reviews. Are there professionals out there that specialized industries higher up on specific websites? Not necessarily review websites, but more specifically like your travel advisor, or I'm sorry, TripAdvisor.
Well, TripAdvisor is a review site. I mean, that's the main point of TripAdvisor is for people to read reviews.
But that would also be included as an OTA, as
yes,
an online
it is.
Yes. travel agent, because you can actually book through
Correct.
Through
but
TripAdvisor.
But it started as a review site.
Okay, so what the main sites that you want to be ranked high on, like mm-hmm. you want to be in the first page? What are some of the
Google is absolutely
Google is
the
number one,
and
right.
Google has really left Yelp in the dust. They have 10 times the review volume that Yelp does. Mm-hmm. Yelp is going to be revamping things. They're in the process of revamping things, which I think they should do.
I think they've been revamping some things for some time now. They keep saying that because I still get phone calls from my computer business.
You know? In the sales department, I don't know if it's reached there, but I'm talking about on their website, they're kind of doing an overhaul at the moment, and I'm not sure what the details of that are. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it's in response to Google's big impact, because mm-hmm. Google is very much focused on the Google My Business listing and the reviews right now. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change. Your local business's local search rank, 25% of the signals now come from the Google My Business listing, and 15.44% comes from the online reviews. So those two things together total 40% of your local search ranking.
Okay. So if you can you tell us more about Google My Business? We were talking before the show, and you said that there have been some changes to Google My Business.
So many, many changes.
Tell us what Google My Business is and why business owners need to be familiar with it.
So Google My Business used to be just a listing. You know, you would search for coffee shops near me, and Google would serve you up all the closest coffee shops, and you could see their hours and what they offered, and
isn't that the same as Google Places or even Google?
Well, Google Plus is no longer in existence.
Google Plus, yes,
that's gone away, and Google Places kind of went with that, and now it's just the Google My Business listing.
Google My Business listing,
and so yeah, it just used to be you can call them from there, or you can go to their website, or ask for directions, and now it's completely different. There are so many features to the Google My Business listing.
Is Google My Business connected with Google Maps?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So whatever Google Maps shows, Google
My Business. It's the search results and the maps. So
okay.
You show up in both places from the Google My Business listing.
Okay. No, let me just interject something real quick because we have to. This information is accurate as of October 2019. I just want to throw that out there because these things change all the time. Mm-hmm.
Are constantly doing new features. I mean, literally once a week, I notice something new when I'm when I'm in a client's Google My Business account. I will that's new. They're doing this now. Mm-hmm. So just to give you a little idea of all of the newish features that people might not be aware of is that you can now do posts on Google My Business, just like you would do a post on Facebook or a post on Instagram. Mm-hmm. People are doing it more as an informative thing, but you can do posts. Those posts can be like an update or they can be an offer. Mm-hmm. You can create events and you can do product highlights. Mm-hmm. So, and posting to your Google My Business is important.
So that's equivalent of when people used to submit things to the newspaper, like an article, you know, so it can be like a public article that's already pre-written for newspapers to just pick up and to just reprint on their presses.
They don't give you that much space, but yeah, you can, it's like something that you would put out in a blog post or put on social media.
Okay, press release, that's the word.
Correct. Yeah, press release, yeah.
So it's a digital press release in a way. Because we have some people that have been involved in industry for a very, very long time of our, you know, our listenership. And they may be used to, and by the way, I'm not discrediting press releases at all, because they're still very, very powerful. There's still a lot of people that still buy newspapers, still read newspapers online, and these press releases are absolutely powerful. But so you can actually do it digitally with what Sherry is sharing with us right now. So how? Let's say that you're a business, but you don't know if you're actually online or not, because for the most part, most of the businesses that have a storefront and have a sign out front almost automatically get listed into this, into the Google My Business, right?
You're not going to show up in the search results unless you've verified and claimed your Google My Business, which you can do that easily just by doing a search for your business. And in the listing, there is a link that says suggest an edit. And next to the suggest an edit, it says, own this business, or are you the owner of this business? ? And if it says that means that your listing has not been claimed and verified. Mm-hmm. So you have to.
Now here's something very interesting, because we're living in in this day and age that we're, people are always trying to find ways to hack into things and to take mastery over someone's account. If your business is not claimed or verified on any of these sites, just because you haven't added them doesn't mean that they're not there. They could be listed. People can list it. Your customers can have it listed. If people don't like your business and you're not listing, they will create a listing and then put a bad review on it for you. Either way, you are going to be listed on here. Okay.
Even if you've claimed and verified your listing, you still need to monitor it, not just for the reviews and stuff, but right now, anyone can suggest an edit to the information that's on there. Anyone in the public can suggest that your hours are different from what's there, or that your phone number is different from what's there, or your services might be different from what's there, and suggest to Google that they change it. And you will get notified that there have been edits suggested, and you can approve them or disapprove them.
Now, here's the thing. If someone suggests, you're on with SB Creative, and you have a listing and you have a phone number on there, I could go in there pretending to be, a customer or even you, and I can suggest to change your phone number. And now all the phone calls that you would be getting would now be coming to me on the phone number that I'd create and I put in there.
If I wasn't monitoring and
if you
saying,
weren't monitoring.
No, that edit does not need to be.
Right. So that's like a digital war. you know. And there was a case where a where two pizza restaurants, I think I mentioned this in an earlier show, that there were two pizza restaurants that were around the corner from each other. And one had more input as to what things were done digitally. So he went to his competition. He changed the hours on their listing to, you know, only being open from like 12 midnight to 5 a.m., which everyone's in bed at those times, okay? So anytime anybody in that area wanted a pizza and they show, oh, this place is closed, let me go to this one. And they practically closed that business. That they went out of business because everyone thought that they were closed when they were open, okay? And this is kind of scary. Somebody did this just as a I'm not going to say that somebody did this as a prank, but they did it to show the government. Even someone actually got into the he had a YouTube video all about it. He changed the phone number for the CIA in Washington D.C. on the Google listing, and Google approved it. Okay, and now he's getting all these phone calls on his cell phone. From people thinking that they're calling
the CIA.
And he was kind of blown away by that. So he went to the CIA in person and he told them, okay, do you realize how easy it is? He says, how easy it is for me to fudge your phone number? And they said, well, we don't believe you. I said, okay, why don't you call the main phone number to the CIA, right? And guess what? His phone rang right at that moment. And, you know, so they supposedly did something about it, but about 6 months later, it was back to the same. He was able to change it back again.
Well, Google My Business luckily has much better support than they used to. You can actually go in through your Google My Business listing and you can request a chat. And I've done that several times for my clients, and they're
Google.
Very helpful.
Okay.
You can also request support via email and or phone. And they're much more responsive. Like if you're in your Google My Business account and you go to the support section, it's improved greatly. So you can actually get a real person helping you out. And I mean, if you download the Google My Business app for the mobile app to your phone, then you'll get notified when these edits are made that you can review them.
So again, that we're realizing how important it is to be monitoring your online presence. And this goes for just about all businesses, because if you're not monitoring it, you can be affected, you know, pretty badly. So tell us a little bit more, Sherry, if you don't mind, about this ebook. And by the way, this book that she came out with was just finished just 2 months ago. It's not available to the public, but you kind of have to contact her directly. The title of the book is Business Owner's Blueprint to Customer Reviews. So can you give us a little snippet of what that book is about?
And people can either join my Facebook group, which is Digital Marketing Strategies for Local Business, and I will send them a copy, or they can contact me directly via email, which I think will be posted on this podcast. But the book is really a guide to how to claim your Google My Business listing and how to optimize it, and then how to go about creating a review funnel. So just like you would do an email automation, you can set up a review funnel where you know, it's always best to ask face-to-face. If you ask for a hotel, the best time to ask is when they're checking out, they've just had this great experience on their vacation, they're happy, and you say, hey, would you mind if we sent you an invitation to review us? And so when you ask the person face-to-face before you send the invitation, you're 34 times more likely to get a response. People really want to leave reviews for businesses that they've had a good experience with. The problem is just that they aren't reminded, they forget, they're busy. So you have to help them out. And so you want to create as little friction as possible for them to do that. But setting up a review funnel where you send them an email, inviting them to review, tell them, like, give them choice of which review sites. You know, obviously Google is very important and Facebook is important. And then choosing a niche site in the hotel industry, that's a little different because you have so many sites.
Yes.
So you might all, you know, you might vary the sites that you are taking them to. And then just telling them what's going to happen when they go to this site, and just walking them through the process and then following up with reminders. And so that happens either via email or text. I find that email gets better response than text message because people are more apt to spend more time and leave a higher quality review when they're doing it via email rather than a text. But that's the basic gist of the book. I also have templates in there for how to respond to reviews, both positive and negative.
Using the apology
the language of apology, yes. And then, you know, just how monitoring and responding to those reviews is extremely important as well.
So. Can you give us an example of apology language?
Apology language.
Okay, I had a terrible experience at the Hotel City Center. I'm just using this as an example. Terrible experience. The coffee was terrible. The lights were flashing, and the people were rude at the counter.
Well, the number one most important thing is that you acknowledge what happened and not try to argue. Like, even if the person is flat out lying, you never argue. Do not argue. Do not, don't try to negate what they're saying or diminish what they're saying. Acknowledge that they had that experience. And then, as Maria was saying earlier, she was saying that you want to say that absolutely it was not our intention for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I would, the language of apology is like how you're going to look into it to prevent that from happening in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Asking for forgiveness is another language of apology.
Please forgive us.
Regret, expressing regret is another language of apology. I'm probably missing a couple here, but that's you get the idea that you want to touch on a few of those and then just say, I would like to discuss this with you in further detail. Here is my personal cell phone number. Please give me a call.
And you would put your personal cell phone right there in that, right there in the response.
In the response?
For everyone to see?
You know, it depends upon the business.
Okay.
For the hotel, you might want the main number and tell them to ask for you directly, but give them a way to reach someone that's in a position of authority, not just reach out to the customer service department, but give them, empower them to reach out to somebody in authority that can remedy the situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very importantly, take that conversation offline.
Okay.
Always fascinating and always ahead of the game. The computer doctor is Aaron Moss on Tucson Business Radio X.
We're speaking here with Maria Chun and Sherry Barker, two excellent examples of using technology in local business. This is Tucson Tech Talk. I'm your host, Aaron Moss. We're broadcasting from the Tucson Radio X studio in the Stewart Title Building on Broadway. And we were talking about how the technology has affected the hospitality industry. We've touched on how Hotel Tucson City Center, with their revamping of their facility, and how they have dealt with maybe difficult things having to do with their technology. They use various OTAs, and we have Sherry Barker here, who's a digital marketer professional. And for a moment, I'd like to go into social media. So there's a big difference between just online reviews and then the social media aspect. So, so I'd like to maybe redirect to Maria. Has Hotel Tucson City Center done anything with social media?
Yes. So we try to be very active on social media. And that is also constantly changing. Instagram and Facebook are two big ones. And the algorithms, of the content that you're posting, the hashtags that you're using, the algorithms are constantly changing. So how can I post content about my business and make sure that it's reaching, you know, it's reaching its potential. It's getting to my followers that I work hard to get to follow my business. And that's not always easy either. So Instagram's one example that I'm just, I felt comfortable with. About a year ago, I felt very comfortable and confident using Instagram. And then 2019, the algorithm changed. Mm-hmm. They now have Instagram Live, stories. It goes on and on. So now I'm relearning how to represent my business on Instagram so that, you know, we're reaching the audience that we want to reach. We talked about Google My Business earlier, and I feel like the new changes that they're implementing are kind of heading towards that social media outlet as well, because I'm now getting notifications. Somebody's messaging Hotel Tucson City Center through Google. So I'm getting messages through Google My Business, and I can respond live time, which is excellent. It's really cool. And then the post that you had mentioned, Sherry, posting on Google My Business through my Google My Business page. So that's something that we're starting to do now as well.
They do have the feature also where you can create exclusive offers just for your followers of your Google My Business listing. So they do have that, like you have to follow the business on Google in order to get that, claim the offer.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So there's all kinds of opportunities on the, you know, the social media aspect. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but I actually had a car rental business in New York City, and car rental right along there with train tickets, bus tickets, airfare. It's all part of the travel industry. So the travel industry overall encounters a lot of similar issues. And that is when we're trying to advertise for the business, a lot of times we want to make sure that we are being reached by people potentially traveling to our city. We're not really aiming for the locals. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the benefit of, you know, of having travelers you know, taking advantage of your business instead of the locals. So now the Hotel Tucson City Center is locally owned, but I would imagine that your advertising is twofold. So you would have some sort of campaign for locals for when you're having your events, you know, like your weddings and your quinceañeras and your the gem show at El Tours and things. See, those are things that would attract like a local audience versus people that are just traveling in for the holidays. So do you have two campaigns, or do you have more than two that you do for different reasons?
That's a great question. So right now, we are only able to really focus on campaigning locally, but and then strategic, I guess, marketing when it comes to out-of-town visitors. So I mentioned where I am part of, we're partners with Visit Tucson, who market a lot in certain cities. So we know that they have a large marketing budget in a city such as Chicago. So we will try to piggyback off of, you know, some RCVB that is already advertising Tucson as a destination, and try to push Hotel Tucson in front of those guests that are already thinking about coming here. I feel like that's more effective. And then another way that we do that is networking. Networking is so important in addition to online marketing. Being a member of the National Tour Association, to meet with tour operators that are from, you know, out of town, Chicago, Philadelphia, and getting my business in front of them and just letting them know what we have to offer, what we're able to do for them when they come to town.
Excellent, excellent. Now, on the social media side, you had mentioned Facebook and Instagram as your main ones. Do you guys also have a presence on Pinterest?
We do. So that's new too.
So how does a hotel being on Pinterest, how does that work?
I am not sure if I figured it out quite yet. And maybe Sherry would be a good person or a good resource to kind of help guide us through that. But it's another, essentially another channel where we can build our presence and help drive people to our website. So I think that's the best way that we utilize all the social media outlets is, you know, driving people to our booking engine to make a reservation, driving people to our website to learn more about us.
And like you said, it's a tunnel, right, Sherry? Things are a tunnel. Okay, I've learned in sales training. You know, I've been going to sales training for about 4 years now, but the idea behind a sales funnel is that their customers are all the way out there, and then you try to get them into the opening of your tunnel. Once they're in that side of that tunnel is basically designed to move them through the tunnel.
It's your customer journey. You're taking them through the next steps of their journey.
Next step. And at the end is a dollar sign.
At the end is a sale. They have stayed with you in your hotel and had a great experience, and then you put them through the review funnel so that other people can come into the funnel.
And then you find some way to bring them back to the entrance again.
Exactly. For some businesses, it's a value ladder. You know, you start with a lead magnet that's just like a guide to Tucson. They download, and then they get on your email list, and then they might buy something that's a lower level, and then go up from there. But so there's all different ways that you can drive people into your sales funnel. One of them is social media. Another big thing that's happening right now is Facebook chatbots.
Bots.
So setting up a bot for your Facebook business page so that people can message you and get information. And I know that a lot of people hear the word bot and they get turned off, but people are making the bot into a character. You give it a little personality and a cute name, and suddenly it's not offensive to people anymore. And you have an automated system where people can ask basic questions and get answers and get directed to the right place on your website. You know, a hotel might want to, do you want to hear about our events coming up and send them a link to your calendar? Or do you want to book a reservation in the dining room? Here's the link to that. And the bot can communicate, and thereby freeing up some of the customer support staff to do other things. So automation is going to be huge going forward.
Now, a little bit about bots. So a bot is short for robot, and people my age and older know what a robot is. You know, if we watch these sci-fi movies when we were kids in the 50s, where we had the right, those robots in those films, right? So, so a bot is not an actual machine that you can touch and moves, but it's something that exists on chips and in software. It has a program to it where it will actually perform specific functions at a certain time, and it automates things. So if there's any type of action that you're doing on a regular basis that's basically repetitive over and over and over again, that can be a very, very easy application for a bot to be designed and to do that one function. Now, Computer Doctor of Tucson, a lot of people don't know this, we can actually create automated systems for that, okay, depending on what it is. There are some email systems that have been that, or you set aside a PC, or in this case a server, that it's only performing one job, and you just program it once and leave it on, and you just keep it on, and it just runs until it either fails or if it runs out of power or something, and it's performing this function over and over and over again, whatever it may be. It could be anything as simple as doing a calculation. Okay, you send it an email or you forward an email to it, and it spits you back a piece of data that you would normally have to do manually or calculate, you know, something else. Or you can design some sort of a program that you can have maybe running right there in a command prompt, okay? So I'm starting to get a little bit techie, but this is a business tech show.
Tech talk.
This is tech talk. So, but you see, these tools are available now. You see, the things that would have taken, you know, a room full of, you know, PhDs, like 100 PhDs on the top floor of a big office building, can now be done by the...
Yeah, you just set up a free... Well, there is a free account, like on ManyChat, and you can set up a basic Facebook chatbot
Yeah,
for free. Just now, some of it doesn't take very long, and you can get more complicated with it. So that depending, you know, conditional answers, you know, based upon what the person is messaging, and give them options, and then, you know, it can go on from there. Mm-hmm.
Or it can be as simple as just saying, "Hey, you know, how can I help you? Are you interested in this? Are you interested in booking a demo with me, or are you interested in downloading the lead magnet?" You know, it can be super simple, and or it can be super complicated, but it's going to be a huge thing going forward, because it really frees up the basic customer service, you know, the lower repetitive tasks, and frees up people to do more important things.
You know, they're even replacing cashiers at supermarkets. Okay, you go to a restaurant, there's a self-order screen now.
Ordering from the iPad.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting on an airplane to New York tomorrow. I'm probably not going to be having any human interaction until they're actually escorting me onto the plane. You know, but you know, you check in through a computer. You probably you know the possibility of having reservation confirmations done by computer, freeing up time for the people at the front desk, things like that. There's all kinds of technologies that and like you said, they're not as complicated as people may think. People are turned off by the idea of having a bot, or if they give it a cute little name, you know, that helps a little bit. But bots, you know, unfortunately, bots have this bad reputation because they have been used so much in the hacking world. You know, so people put bots out there to find, people that are gullible. You could actually write a program and you can send it out, "Find me gullible people."
Oh, wow.
And there is a program out there. Did you know that there's even a program out there that lawyers use, and they put the data, like the evidence of the case, and it will actually give you a percentage of what the judge is going to rule with the evidence that you put into this program? Okay. You know, it's getting to the point where, okay, where is truth anymore? you know, where is justice? Where is anything legitimate? You know,
well, luckily the judge still has free will.
Right.
So far.
Well, you know, we're getting extremely close to where these computers can actually read our mind. It's kind of funny. My wife and I, we bought it's not a smart car, but it's one of those, it's a Honda CR-V, 2017, so touring edition. So it has all the computer, all the features. Our car has a website. I'm not saying Honda.com. No, our specific car has its own website.
Wow.
Okay. And the car will tell us what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. We just go onto the car's website and it tells us. Okay. We were talking about, my wife's mentioned, you know, the car needs a wash. I said, okay. So we get into the car, and the GPS automatically tells us where the nearest car wash is. We didn't even tell the car, you know, anything about it, but it just knew that we wanted to go to the car wash, and it gave us directions. I was like, okay, is this car like reading our minds or what? But I think it was like trying to remember our past, you know,
your
destination,
patterns.
Our patterns.
Behavior
so
patterns.
We usually go to that car wash. But it's funny, you know, that's where technology is going. And if we can find a way to make technology work better for the customers, it would make a huge difference as to, you know, what kind of service the customers end up getting. I did want to mention something about Pinterest, because we got off into this tangent about Pinterest. But so Pinterest is a visual more of a visual social media. So there was this gal. She had invented this this type of it was like a leg warmer and boot that had these huge ginormous buttons on it, and she just had a picture of herself wearing these things, and so many people clicked on it because they wanted them.
Yes.
Okay.
Including me.
See, you see that power. So I think she was even featured on the news about how from this one picture, okay, because it's so visually appearing. So if you can find a way to visually put your business in a single simple format, maybe a couple of word or like a buzzword on there so that people can see. If you can find a way to do that and get people to click on it because they want to see more of that, of what they just saw, That's where Pinterest, if you
basically
can sum it up.
Basically a digital scrapbook that yeah. people can save things to. They create boards, visual boards of mm-hmm. different topics, and you want your posts to be saved onto their onto their Pinterest board.
All right. So we talked about the past. We talked about the present. Let's talk about the future of your two businesses with the updates that the Hotel Tucson City Center is doing. Are you guys going to be hiring or?
Like, oh, yes. So that's a great question.
Okay.
We, like I mentioned, we're working really hard to build that business back up to its full potential. So mm-hmm. right now we're actually not operating at 100% occupancy. So there's so much potential for growth. We're trying to do everything, spend time, put a lot of tender love and care TLC back into the property, and give our customers or our guests the attention that they deserve. So right now we're only able to really do that for a part of the building. While we undergo some changes and try to improve our standards. So we are always looking for the right people to join our team and people who are interested in coming on board and, investing their time in our business and improving the guest experience when they come visit our beautiful city. Mm-hmm. So if you know anybody or if you yourself are looking into getting involved in the hospitality industry, submit your application to Hotel Tucson City Center and we'll be happy to meet you.
Okay. So what would be a good candidate?
People person, somebody who's genuine, mm-hmm. Somebody who genuinely cares about somebody, one of our guests, for example. Mm-hmm. So I always try to tell our staff, our front of house staff, everybody, if there's a guest that comes to the front and they have a complaint or a concern, it's your job to make it right. So yeah.
Don't brush them off.
Yeah. Or don't be afraid. I think that's confrontation. A lot of people tend to pull away.
It's a fear.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This person's not happy. I'm not sure how to help them. So they pull away. But that's mm-hmm. not how we want to handle it. And I want to, bring people in that are wanting to look at it differently, like be more proactive mm-hmm. To make it right for the guests so that they can enjoy the rest of their stay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And since you're doing a lot of with your event space, I know filling event space time, just been my personal experiences, it's always a challenge for hotels because the event space, many times goes unoccupied for most. Some hotels have no problem filling their event space. So,
yes.
So tell us more about the event spaces and what people can expect if they are trying to have an event or like an ongoing event.
Yeah. So we have 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space.
So, yeah.
16,000. So that breaks up into our 10,000 square foot ballroom. And then we have smaller meeting spaces that are available, in addition to our two very large courtyard spaces. Mm-hmm. So and our Olympic-sized swimming pool. So mm-hmm. pool parties are not out of the question. Mm-hmm. We've had, the U of A sorority, sorority houses rent our pool and they do pool parties and mm-hmm. we cater it for them. Anything from outdoor wedding ceremonies at in our courtyard and gazebo space and then the indoor receptions for our ballroom or retreats. A lot of different businesses or groups will come in from out of town, especially during the winter months when, Chicago, it's really cold. So they come to Tucson, they have a retreat with us and they stay with us. They use our heated swimming pool to get, we have triathletes. That's one group that I'm thinking of. They use the heated swimming pool to get a workout in. And then they bring their bicycles and they do a ride up Mount Lemmon and come back and have a catered dinner with us. So mm-hmm. We're more than accommodating to being independent and not part of a corporate. We're able to accommodate a lot of different demands.
And I just want to add this in, the big advantage that, as far as I'm concerned, of dealing with something that is locally owned, you can go to the top a lot faster. In other words, you don't have to wait for some corporate executive somewhere in some other state, you know, that it's just a piece of paper laying on their desk and they can say yay or nay. But you're actually speaking to a person. You can get the owner of the place, you know, speaking face to face with them, and they can pull all the strings if they have to. So that's a great advantage, especially, and you know, the only advantage I feel of going with a national brand is if your needs are within a city or in other cities or a national need, then you can have the same. But if you're doing it something in the same city, that would be something that would be worthwhile if it was locally owned. Next, Sherry. So what do you feel the future for social media and online reviews is? It seems to be running right now, so that's the present. But where do you feel that it's going?
Well, Google My Business is adding all these new features at an accelerated rate. As I said before, there's like every week I see something new. Actually, if you Google Aaron Moss online and you say Aaron Moss Tech Talk, the podcast not only comes up, but you can play it right there in the search results. You can just click play and start listening to one of the episodes. So they're adding not just features to Google My Business, but also to the search. And of course, social media is not going away whatsoever. Of course, the algorithms are going to change. They're always trying to improve the user experience. So they're going to constantly be making improvements. Mm-hmm. The big thing for me is online reviews and really helping people get found online, getting your local business found online. And that right now is through Google My Business, through not only getting online reviews, but monitoring and responding and also broadcasting those, you know, taking those reviews and turning them into marketing materials. Get the word out, sharing people's positive experiences. So, and web design is changing a lot too right now. So that's another thing that I do. And then, as I said, the automations through email automation and chatbots, and helping people. The whole thing is helping business owners focus on what they do best, letting people like Maria run her hotel instead of worrying about where her customers are going to come from. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I come in, is taking the stress and the worry out of where your customers are coming from, where you're getting your leads from, and letting you do your job, letting Aaron run his computer business and letting Maria run her, you know, letting my clients do what they love and what they're passionate about.
Excellent. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of technology these days, you know, so anything that reduces human effort, really. That is actually the definition of a machine. And these days, technologies are the machines of our day. And people that are not using them, you know, are at a loss. So definitely that's where the future is definitely going. We want to actually thank our two guests. Again, there was Maria Chun with Hotel Tucson City Center. We're going to have her phone number posted on the show notes. She can be, their company website is HotelTucsonCityCenter.com. They have LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest accounts. We also have Sherry Baker. Sherry Baker is with SB
Barker.
You know, on the show notes, it looks Barker. Yeah, did I say Baker earlier?
No,
I did.
You said Barker earlier.
I said so. I apologize for that. So, Sherry Baker, give us your phone number again.
It's 520-271-3724.
That's right. And Sherry can be reached on two websites, SBC Creative with the number 8, CR8, number 8, IVE.com, and ReviewBetty.com. She also has a LinkedIn and Facebook account that we'll be posting in the show notes. We want to thank our guests again for being on the show. We hope all of our listeners have learned something about technology in the hospitality industry. Listen to the episodes of Tucson Tech Talk every second Monday of the month. Tucson Tech Talk is sponsored by Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works. Until next time, be safe and know your technology.